jump off from the 18th chapter of the book of Luke. 18th chapter of the book of Luke. But first of all, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person that's here in the sanctuary today. I'm honored that they're here. Hallelujah. And I thank you for every person, Lord, that's watching the live stream, and I'm honored that they're watching. And I pray, Father God, that their ears will be open to hear. Hallelujah. I pray that if they're tired, that while I'm preaching, while I'm ministering the word, they will remain alert, where they're able to hear your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I pray, Father, that they have ears to hear, and I pray, Father, that they will have, that they have a heart to receive your word, thus having their lives changed for your glory. Thank you, Father, for this honor that you've given me to minister your word. And Father, we give you the praise for it and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, the 18th chapter of Luke, the very first verse, Jesus, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart or not to faint. So I may be winding this up today. We'll see. But turn, before I say anything else, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. The third chapter. And of course, I'm going there too. Okay. 1 Corinthians, third chapter. We'll go there in a moment. But here's something I want you to understand. And you've heard me say this many, many times, but don't hurt to repeat it, because faith comes by hearing, don't it?
Amen.
Yes, it does. Now, if you're a person that don't want anything repeated, it's time to repent right now, because even when you were a kid, your parents had to tell you same thing over and over and over again. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to hear things more than once. We, in one sense, we're like a battery. how many of you know batteries have to be charged, don't they? Amen. Rechargeable batteries, you have to charge it. Now, a battery that's not rechargeable, guess what? The things go dead and it's no longer any good. But thank God we are rechargeable. Yeah, praise God. We are rechargeable. So we need to constantly be charged or constantly hear the word of God. And so you need to understand, all of us have to understand, first of all, that we're loved by God, and I think everybody know that, amen, that we are loved by God. But we also need to understand that there's a plan of God for our lives. And by the way, that plan has to be prayed out. It does. It has to be prayed out. It has to be prayed out. But not only that, the word of God, well, let me read it, excuse me, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm just going to read verse 9. Verse 9 says, from my New King James Bible, it says, for we are God's fellow workers. You see that? We are God's fellow workers. And he went on to say, the Apostle Paul here said, you are God's field, you are God's building. But the first half of that verse, he points out that we are God's fellow workers. Another way that we can say that is that we are laborers together with God. You were born, listen to me, you were born to work with God. Remember Jesus in what we call the Lord's Prayer? Jesus says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Guess how his will is going to be done in earth? Through us. We're the ones that God has called to carry out his will in the earth. Praise God. Praise God. And guess what? God sent us to the earth. He sent us here to the earth. He didn't send us to Mars. He didn't send us to another galaxy. And there's this big question out there that people have, and probably some of you have the same question, you know, are there any other planets that are inhabited? Well, frankly, I don't know. But from what we've seen up to this point, it's not looking too promising. Went to the moon, didn't find any moon creatures. You know, I used to read comic books and comic section in the newspaper because that's all I had that was available to me, and you know, you'd read these cartoons about moon creatures and green creatures on Mars, you know, and I sort of was left with the impression that there was some type of creation up there. Well, if it is, we can't see it. And of course, now they're talking about, you know, all these UFOs and so forth. And I'm not going to get into all that. That's not my message today. But I will say this, that I can't explain it necessarily. But I do know that there is an unseen world. There's an unseen world that at any point in time can manifest itself. How many of you know there are angels? Yes, Lord. Amen. Praise God. There are angels all around us. I'm talking about God's angels, holy angels. Praise God. They're encamped around about us. Amen. They carry out the will of God. But guess what? There are also demonic spirits out there. There are demonic spirits out there. So and I'm not going to even speculate, but I'm just saying things can materialize. Okay? Amen. Enough of that. Leave that alone. All right. Now, here's my point. Stay with me. We are laborers together with God. God sent us here to the earth for a purpose. And that purpose was that he might work through us to carry out his will in the earth. Amen. Amen. Remember, God created Adam, created him a place in Eden. And God gave Adam special instructions. And his instruction was to have dominion over the earth. All the animals, everything. He was to have dominion over the earth. But you know the story. Satan came and the devil came, deceived Eve. Adam obeyed, disobeyed the devil, disobeyed God. And because of that, he was no longer qualified to have dominion. So he was kicked out of the garden. Guess who became the god of this world? Huh? Satan. Now, when I say the god of this world, I'm not talking about believers. I'm talking about he became the god of this world system. I think it's in Luke chapter 4, where during the temptation of Jesus Christ, Satan took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and told him, says, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And he went on to say, because they have been delivered to me. Why could he say, and by the way, when he said it was delivered to him, actually he was telling the truth, because Adam delivered it to him. Adam delivered it to him. And so he was telling Jesus, I'll give it back to you if you will bow down and worship me. But let me tell you something. From the time that Adam fell, God had a plan. Listen to me. God had a plan. Well, this is the truth. We say God's plan was Jesus Christ. That's the absolute truth. Amen. His plan was Jesus Christ. Jesus was to come and redeem fallen man. But let me tell you something. Are you ready for this? You was a part of that plan also. You were a part of that plan. I was a part of that plan. Jesus came and set us free. But God still wants to use us to carry out his will here in this earth. Hallelujah. So we have to understand that we are laborers together with God. Now, I read, and I've heard also, but I've read it as well, that John Wesley said, and I think he lived back in the 1700s, if I'm not mistaken, but he was a minister, a preacher. And he says that God does nothing, listen to this now, God does nothing except in response to believe in prayer. I'll read that to you again. I want you to get this. God does nothing except in response to believe in prayer. In other words, God is waiting on us to ask him. God is waiting on us to get busy. God is waiting on us to pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's waiting on us to pray. We have a connection to God through Christ Jesus. Listen, grab a hold. Don't you lose sight of this. You and I have a connection to heaven through Christ Jesus. See, here's what God could have done, but he didn't. The minute we got saved, he could have took us on to heaven. He could have took us on to heaven. But he didn't do that. He left us here because he wanted to use us. He wanted to work through us. We are his heavenly connection to the earth. We are his people. God has family in the earth. God has family in heaven, and God has family on the earth. I'm a member of God's family on the earth. If you're a member of God's family on this earth, why don't you shout amen?
Amen.
So if God wants to get something done in the earth, guess who he works with? Us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He works through us. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James, please. Fifth chapter. James, the fifth chapter. Now, I've talked about prayer. We've covered many areas concerning prayer. But I was reading this, and I want to share it with you this morning. In James chapter 5. And I'll begin at verse 13. Matter of fact, let me read a few verses and then I'll come back to verse 13. Beginning at verse 13, he asked the question, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, as I was reading this, you know, the Lord just prompted me as James was writing to the people of God. I want you to see something here. Go back to verse 13. Now, he broke it down so that the church can understand it. He said, first of all, saints, is anyone among you suffering? Is anyone among you afflicted in any way? What's his answer? Let him pray. Let him pray. Let him pray. Listen, we as believers cannot have a productive life without having a prayer life. I want to say that again. You cannot have a productive life if you do not have a prayer life. Now, you may accomplish some things in your own flesh, but if you want to accomplish something for God, if you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, you got to have a prayer life. So he says, if anyone's suffering or if anyone's afflicted, the first thing you need to do is pray. Pray. You know, sometimes we may have a little pain or something in our bodies, or something happen, and the first thing we do sometime is, you know, you run to your medicine cabinet, or you jump in your automobile and you run to the doctor. And I'm not saying anything against any of that, but you know what? Do I have your attention? The very first thing you need to do is pray. You need to get God involved first. Are you listening to me? You need to get God involved first. You know, I thank God for my wife. She's such a blessing to me. And there's been times we've been talking, or not just talking to me. I've seen her talking to other people, and they'll be talking to her about a situation or whatever. Or I may be sharing something with her, and you know what she'll say? Let's pray. She'll grab my hand. Let's pray. You know, that's the right attitude. That's the right approach. Let's get God in on this thing first. So he said, if any suffer, if any afflicted, pray, talk to God, because God is not afflicting us. God is not sending sickness and heartache and disappointments our way. So we need to have a mentality that I'll pray first. And prayer don't mean you always got to fall down on your knees. You know, I'm so glad that we have the liberty to pray on our knees. We have the liberty to pray on our feet. We can pray while we're driving. Thank God we can pray. So biblical instructions is if you're suffering, and it doesn't necessarily have to be physical. It can be financially. It can be emotionally. It can be a number of ways. But the first instruction we have is pray. Get God involved. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, anyone cheerful, let him do what? Sing songs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My mother was not an educated woman. What grade did she go to? Fourth, fifth, sixth? I think she told me. I don't think she got beyond the sixth grade. Now, you have to understand, if my mother was living right now, she would be well over 100. Okay, she'd be well over 100. And so she worked hard all her life, and her dad farmed, so he kept them in the fields. And so, you know, she didn't have a whole lot of time to go to school. Thank God, though, she could read. She could read. But she blessed me as a little child, 4 or 5 years old or so, and even beyond that. But I remember walking around the house and hearing my mama sing, and I'm sure you did too. She would sing, and she wouldn't sing nothing foolish either. But she was all, I never heard my mother sing anything except Christian songs. I never heard her sing any other song. If she did, I didn't hear. She always sang Christian songs, and I would listen to her sing. And it had an impact on my life. And of course, I would listen to her pray. As a child, I would hear praying, and it had an impact on my life. Let me tell you something. You know, you don't have to have 100 degrees to have a impact on somebody's life. Can I get amen on that? Amen. Now, again, I'm not knocking degrees. Y'all stay with me. But what I'm saying is you can still have an impact on someone's life. And her prayer life had an impact on me. Yes, it did. Amen. But I remember her singing, man, just walking around the house, singing songs. I'd be listening, you know, trying to learn the songs myself so that I could sing them. But hey, listen, and I know for my I know for a fact my mother didn't have it easy. She did not have it easy. You know, we had family issues practically my whole life at home. I know we're not the only one. You know, many of you probably say the same thing, that you know that there were issues. But just to hear her singing in the midst of it all was a blessing to me. It was a blessing to me. So we need to be singing and praising God. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many of you going to start singing? I'm going to put you on the spot now. Come on. You're going to start singing. You don't have to sing in front of anybody. I know everybody can't sing, but you know, you get by yourself, just sing your heart out. Listen to me. You get by yourself. Your friends may tell you you can't sing, you know, or whatever, laugh at you, whatever. That's all right. When you by yourself, you go right ahead and sing because God's listening, and I just can imagine God listening. You might sound like somebody scraping the bottom of a metal bucket, but I can hear God right now. He's patting his foot because you're singing for his glory. Hallelujah. It's music to his ears. Glory to God. Sing by yourself if you can't sing publicly, and not everybody can. And that's all right. That don't make you a bad person. You can sing in your shower. You can sing while you're driving. Sing. That's what we should be doing. We should be singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing them to the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. All right. Let me move on. Is anyone, verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them do what? Let them do what? Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what? The first thing we need to do is pray. And sometimes we need to give counsel too, but we definitely need to pray. Amen. I said amen. I know many times, over the years, I've had people come up for prayer, and I would pray for them every time, pray for them. But sometimes the Spirit of the Lord will drop something in my spirit that I need to tell them, that there may be some instructions that they need. Sometimes, you know, sometimes there are reasons we're sick. Amen. Not all the time. We know sickness is not from God, but sometimes we can open the door to it by our lifestyle or whatever. And we talked about this last week, just simply having something against your brother or your sister. It doesn't have to be your brother or sister. It can be anybody. You having aught against someone can hinder your prayers, can hinder your blessings, can hinder your healing. Are you still here? Amen. Do you folk want the word or not?
Yes.
Praise God. I mean, some folks couldn't even talk if they didn't have something bad to say about someone else. Well, you know what? Until they get delivered, they just need to go ahead and become a mute. Amen. Because if you can't say nothing good, just don't say anything. If you refuse to forgive, guess what? It's going to cause you problems. Because the very reason we're free right now is because Jesus forgave us. Our Father forgave us. That's the reason we are free today. And he's demanding it of us that we forgive others. Well, glory to God. And then the Lord brought this, and this is right along the same lines of what I'm saying, but he brought this to my attention. Verse 16, it says, confess your transgressions to one another. You know what? When you're willing to say, I'm sorry, when you're willing to say, I'm wrong, I was wrong, whatever pride you have in your life falls away. Because anybody that refused to say I'm sorry, anybody that refused to say I am wrong is a prideful person, at least in that area. Pride will keep you from making it right. But the word of God says, confess your faults to one another. Now, don't misunderstand that. When it say confess your faults, it's not talking about opening your closet door and let all your dirty clothes come falling out. That's telling people all your business. That's not what it's talking about. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we need to be able to communicate with one another. You know, if I've offended this sister right here, you know, I don't need to act like I did. And I know that I did something or said something that offended her. I need to go to her and I need to make it right with her. I need to let her know, sister, I love you and I made a mistake and I'm sorry. How many of you know you don't hear too much preaching like that? But it's still in the Bible. You know, we shout and praise the Lord when we're blessed, when God bless us financially, or bless us with a new home, or bless us with a new car, or bless us in some way. You know, we're giving God the glory, and we should. But we need to do all the word of God. We need to keep all the word of God. So if the word of God says, get it right with your brother or your sister, then you need to do it. Amen. Yeah, I know, Pastor, but. Well, goat's butt. So are you a goat or are you a sheep? God's not looking for excuses. He just wants us to obey it. Hallelujah. God, listen to this. Stay with me on this. God is looking to us to change the atmosphere. You ever walked up on folks talking, or maybe even gone to someone's home and they let you in the house? And all of a sudden, you feel like, oops. Maybe they've been arguing, fighting, or something going on. You just kind of feel it. You feel it in the atmosphere. Well, God's called us to change atmosphere. In other words, I use Sister Sharon again as an example. If I have said something or did something that hurt her feelings, and now when it come to me, the atmosphere is not good at all with her, but it's my responsibility to go to her and change that thing by apologizing. Amen. For what I did or for what I said. And you change the whole atmosphere. And when you change the whole atmosphere, guess what? Now you can smile at one another, you can laugh together, you can pray together again. It's hard to pray with somebody you hate. It's hard to pray with someone and you know that there's some things that you need to get right with them. Am I getting right down where we live? Glory to God. We need to be willing to get it right. Change the atmosphere. Amen. Anytime over the last almost 48 years is coming, wow, next month, 1 month from today. Today is July 4th, so 1 month, August 4th, we will have been married 48 years. Amen. So I can say, as of today, we've been married 47 years and 11 months. But now let me tell you, the last 47 years and 11 months hadn't always been smooth sailing. Because you have two human beings that come from two different families, that see things different, that's got to adjust to one another. You're still here. And so that means that over the last almost 48 years, we have not always agreed on everything. But I made the decision, and we talked about it, that when we disagree on something, the Word of God is going to have the final authority. The Word of God is going to have the final authority. And listen to me. If I'm wrong, I'm going to apologize to her and say I'm wrong. Does it feel good? No, not all the time. It don't. Your flesh said, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, I just don't want to be left out here hanging by myself. Now, okay. Oh, y'all y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the flesh don't want, you know, sometimes the flesh want to punish you. But that's the reason we have to put the flesh under. We can't let the flesh have its way. We have to say, and I have to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I shouldn't have said what I said, or I shouldn't have did what I did, or whatever. I was wrong. Forgive me. And likewise with her. And every one of you that's married, unless you just got married this morning, have had to do the same thing. Am I right? But that's how you keep a good atmosphere between you and your spouse. Things should always be smooth between you and your husband, you and your wife, even when you disagree. And sometimes you may not necessarily see things the same way, but the atmosphere is clear. You're not holding anything against one another. She sees it a little bit different than me. Maybe she sees it from a woman's viewpoint. I see it from a man's viewpoint. But we're in agreement. We're going to do what's right. Amen. Covered a lot of area, hadn't I? From prayer to marriage to... But it said, confess your faults to one another. I'm sorry I said what I did. I'm sorry I did what I did. Forgive me. Now let's finish this verse. Y'all still with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 16 again. Confess your trespasses to one another and what? And pray. You see that? And pray for one another. Uh-oh. Y'all see that? Let me pick my Bible up and make sure that says what it looks like it says. confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And I hope if you have anything against anybody, that when we dismiss this service later on, you're going to get it right. Because I don't want anything to interfere with my health, my prosperity, my life in any way. Amen. And if you're easily offended, God will give you strength.
Yes, he is.
He will give you duck feathers. What do you mean, duck feathers? Somebody got the revelation. You just let it run off like water on a duck's feathers. Just run right off, and it don't affect you one bit. You have to understand something. I'm being personal right now. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm excited about my life now. I'm excited about my future with the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, in heaven. And I'm not going to allow anything to mess that up. I don't care what it is. It ain't worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You hear me? It's not worth it. I refuse to let anything. I got a good thing going here. So do you. But I'm saved. And I'm glad about it. Praise God. I got to move on. Y'all get anything out of this? So again, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I put this in my notes. I wanted to read this to you, verse 16, from the Passion Translation. I was reading this. It says, confess and acknowledge, this is verse 16, confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another, and then pray for one another to be instantly healed. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Now, as I get ready to close this out, I want to read verse 17 to you. Because sometimes people feel like, man, you know, I'm just a normal person. You know, and I've had my faults, and you know, this is wrong with me, and that's wrong with me, and so forth. But listen to what he says in verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. See, he was a man. He had to deal with the same things that we deal with in life. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Listen, God is saying, look, just like God answered Elijah's prayer, God will answer your prayer. If you will pray earnestly, like he did, He was nobody special except for the fact that he was called of God. He placed himself in a position to be used by God. And he prayed, and God answered his prayer. And the Word of God is telling us, when you pray earnestly, if you'll be persistent in prayer, you will see answers to your prayers as well. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Because now the devil will lie to you. He'll tell you that God answers every other believer's prayer, but he won't answer yours. Anybody ever been there?
Amen.
He'll heal your brother, your sister, your preacher, but he won't heal you. Anybody ever been there? Well, he tried to convince you of that, especially when you've been praying and seem like nothing's changed. Don't fall for that lie. God answered Elijah's prayers. He will answer your prayer too. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for choosing us to be laborers together with you, that we can get things changed in this sinful world.